Okay, let's get started. So if you want to go to this website and download the presentation, you can follow it much easier. You can also take notes, lesser notes if you would like. If you want to get started there, you can do that now. With that, let's get started. My name is Nishant Lingamneni. I'm a senior program manager in the Windows Partner and Customer Ecosystem Engagement. Today I'm going to talk to you about ultra-high definition and hardware DRM in Windows 10. If you have questions, please, I ask that you hold them till the end. I'll make myself available to answer questions one-on-one if required. With that, let's get started. So today's session, I'm going to talk about ultra-high definition, its importance to the ecosystem, what Microsoft is doing to support this feature, as well as a new feature in Windows 10 called hardware-based digital rights management. For short, we call ultra-high definition as UHD, and hardware digital rights management as hardware DRM. For the agenda today, we're going to talk about UHD, understanding UHD, then we'll switch to understanding HEVC, which stands for High Efficiency Video Codec, also known as H.265. We'll then switch gears, talk about the investments Windows is making to support UHD and HEVC, as well as other features. We'll then talk about hardware DRM and end with call to action. The first section is about understanding UHD. I like to explain this by talking about how human beings perceive images and videos. In order of importance from top to bottom, the most important variable that is required for human image perception is dynamic range. Simply explained, dynamic range is the difference between the darkest black and the brightest white and the steps in between. The second most important variable is color gamut. Color gamut basically is the range of colors that can be faithfully recreated onto a computer's display. Frame rate, also known as refresh rate, is the next most important variable. And this basically is the number of frames that can be shown on a computer screen per second. The last variable is resolution. Essentially, that is the number of pixels that can be shown onto a display. Let's talk about each of these variables in more detail. The first variable is dynamic range. What we have here is the same image which has been edited to try to replicate different kinds of computer displays. This is a picture of Snoqualmie Falls. It is a famous waterfall in the Seattle area. That's where I'm from. What we see here is the original image. You can see that it's at 600 nits. Nits is a measure of luminance, of brightness. And you can see that the colors here are quite bright, right? Highlights are excellent within the waterfall itself. And you can see that the colors between the lighter green, the darker green, the blue, the white are all quite nice. However, there are many computer displays that have lower luminance, are less bright. Image one is meant to showcase one of those experiences. Nits is a measure of luminance, brightness. It's basically how you measure brightness of a display. That's what nits is. So this is basically reduced nits, basically reduced brightness of the same display. There are displays like that right now. What you see here is that the highlights are not as prominent as here. There are banding of colors where here you can see that the waterfall, the vapor around the waterfall is different with respect to colors. This is the same picture shown on different screens. Second image basically is clamped at 200 nits, which means the dynamic range does not go beyond a certain limit. We are limiting the colors that are shown in the particular image. You can see that this highlights are almost completely gone. It's almost entirely white. You can see the highlights here properly. You can't see them there. Similarly, image 3 has been clamped at 400 nits. It's brighter than this one, and yet you lose a few things. This color is different from that color, and it's different from that color. And that's what we're trying to explain here. Essentially, what I'm trying to say is there is a need for us to have brighter screens with greater bit depth and more colors faithfully recreated. What I'm trying to explain is dynamic range is a very important variable in human image perception. Let's talk about the next variable, which is color gamut. Color gamut, as I explained before, is the range of colors that can be faithfully recreated onto a computer's display. The triangle in the middle stands for REC-BT-709. This is the current HDTV standard. It is it provides a certain number of colors already provided. Now, REC-BT-2020 is the new ultra-high definition and HDMI standard. As you can see, that is represented by the dotted line triangle. There are other bodies which you can actually look at with respect to supported color gamut measurements, including REC-BT-601, DCI-P3, and Adobe RGB. The more color gamut you support, the more premium the display is going to look. You can show more versions of red, more versions of green, and therefore it'll look more nicer. However, the important thing to note here is we need consistent lookup tables for conversion. Regardless of how good the display is, if the SoC and the display don't talk to each other properly, you don't show high quality colors, and therefore the display might not look as premium as it is supposed to be. Let's talk about the next variable, which is resolution, not just content resolution, but also regular resolution of the display itself. HDTV is the prevailing standard. HDTVs took off about 7 years ago. They've become extremely popular now. You can almost find no displays on the planet that doesn't support HDTV, which is 1920 by 1080. We've also standardized on resolution of content. So studios like Netflix, Amazon Instant Video, YouTube content is also, almost all of it these days is at 1080p. We see that 4K is gaining traction now, we are going to see a lot of TVs supporting 4K by holiday of this year worldwide. We also see that 8K TVs are coming up now. Right now, they're very expensive, but we expect to see 8K TVs and 8K screens showing up on Windows PCs, laptops, desktops, as well as phones shortly. And I'll talk about what Windows is supporting with respect to content resolution and resolution itself in the coming slides. So let me summarize what we just talked about with respect to the variables that are that basically make up human image perception. Ultra-high definition is not just about resolution. That is what I'm trying to explain here. Excuse me. Right now, the way displays are being marketed are in the top-down fashion. It's easy to explain 4K resolution. It has four times the number of pixels as a 1080p screen. It's easy to explain. However, from a human image perception point of view, human beings cannot perceive the quality of 4K if they're more than 10 feet away from the display for a large TV of 55 inches. For a laptop, this size is 13.3 inches. If I'm seeing it from here, I can see 4K. If I'm seeing it from here, I cannot see 4K. That's what I'm trying to explain here. Frame rate is extremely important, specifically to make motion smoother, especially for sporting events. And that happens quite a lot as well. Color gamut, as I explained before, provides higher quality bit depths with respect to each color that faithfully gets recreated onto a display, as well as the percentage of colors that can be faithfully recreated. The last one is dynamic range. It gives you the ability to see details in both the bright portions as well as the dark portions of the image. The explanation I can give you pictorially is these two pictures. What you see here is you see lesser colors. You can see the banding is happening here on a lower quality display. You don't see that here. You see the hole here within the cloud. You don't see that here. That's actually just a shadow. It's just a rain-bearing cloud. Similarly, you can see that in the exact same picture with a nicer screen, you can see this person right here. You can barely see them here. Colors are brighter. The overall image is nicer. You can see better on the darker sides as well as the brighter sides of the image. What we're trying to say is we need to be supporting displays in this order of importance, down to up. It's the opposite of what the industry is being marketing. Enhanced color enables smoother transitions and adds more range of colors. And the key point here is UHD is not just about resolution. It's about a combination of these four elements. With that, let's talk about the UHD ecosystem and what Microsoft is doing to ensure success in the ecosystem. This is a list of a small list of companies, not exhaustive at all, that we are working with to enable high-quality UHD landing in the ecosystem. We're working with content providers, with hardware providers, with devices, be it phones, Xbox, two-in-ones, or laptops and desktops, as well as standards bodies, to converge on a definition for ultra-high definition and ensure its success in the ecosystem. We are happy to work with any other partners that you see are not on this list. And if there are something like that, please let us know, and we'd love to work with them. With that, let's switch gears and talk about HEVC. As I explained before, HEVC stands for High Efficiency Video Codec. It is also known as H.265. It's a joint MPEG ITU standard, and it's the successor to the widely popular H.264 video codec. It's non-proprietary. The importance of HEVC is that it provides significantly more efficient compression of and uncompression of video, especially on video playback. It also takes 30 to 50% lesser bandwidth and storage depending on the content being played. So you can play the same 480p content at significantly lower bandwidth. You can play 720p content at lower bandwidth, or 1080p content at higher bandwidth, but with higher quality as well. The trade-off here is it provides increased computational complexity, but with the right SoC support, you'll be able to solve that. Let me talk about the impact HEVC has in the next slide. As I explained, given the reduced bandwidth and storage requirements of HEVC, it can help you reach more screens in more markets. You can push 4K quality video in markets which have higher bandwidth with respect to internet connections, or you can push 720p quality video in countries which have lower internet bandwidth usage. Because of reduced consumer cost, specifically on metered broadband connections, phone providers, phone internet providers like Airtel in India, Vodafone and Orange across the world, Verizon and AT&T have improvements because they have lower consumer cost on metered bandwidth, on metered broadband. It also reduces cost for storage as well as streaming, including support for Blu-ray quality content. It also provides perceivably better quality video for most users and can push the envelope on state-of-the-art quality video as well. This chart is publicly available, and you can refer to it if you'd like. What it shows is the average megabytes per second with respect to internet speed across the world. Except for South Korea, almost everybody has significantly reduced bandwidth availability. And this is what is the real point of HEVC. With HEVC, you can achieve providing higher quality video despite the lower internet bandwidth usage. That is the entire point of HEVC. Let's switch gears now and talk about the investments Windows is making to support all these features. The first thing they're investing in Windows 10 to support ultra-high definition is we're supporting HEVC decoder with hardware offload in Windows 10. We are also supporting HEVC encoder with hardware offload also in Windows 10. We have support for hardware-based digital rights management for PlayReady infrastructure, PlayReady 3.0. As well as support for a wider color gamut as compared to Windows 8.1. We also have support for greater precision and accuracy of colors, which basically ensures that the blue that you want to showcase is the exact color shade of blue that shows up on the computer's display. I will talk about more details about hardware DRM in the coming slides. To resolutions supported by Windows. This is a question I get quite a lot, so I thought I'd document this and share this information with you. For Windows 10 for desktops, that is for PCs and two-in-ones, the minimum size we support with respect to the display size is 8 inches. The minimum resolution we support is 800 by 600. And we support 4K quality displays on any screen above 8 inches. This is in plan today. It's already in support. We also support 8K resolutions on screens which are greater than 27 inches. Coming to investments in Windows Phone and small screen tablets, the minimum size that we support is 4 inches. We recommend that you support 4.5 inches for reasons I'll explain in the next slide. The minimum resolution we support is 480 by 800. We support QHD, which is 2160 by 1920, on 4 inches or higher screens, and we support 4K on phone and small screen tablets for displays above 6 inches. Next support I was going to talk about is aspect ratios. Windows 10 for desktop, PCs, and two-in-ones, we support any the same aspect ratios as Windows 8.1. For Windows 10 for phones and small screen tablets, we also support any aspect ratio, but this is in plan for later in 2015. You will have the support by holiday of this year. The design team, however, which designs the user experience for Windows, is targeting a few specific aspect ratios for the shell itself, and that is where applications will basically be coming into the picture. For phones, we are targeting 16 to 9. Small tablets, we're targeting 16 to 10. Two-in-ones, we're targeting 3:2. For laptops, desktops, and TVs, we're supporting 16 to 9. Windows itself will reflow to any arbitrary aspect ratio as you'd like to ship. So you should feel free to ship any aspect ratio that you like. However, for square aspect ratios, that might have a limited scale factor because of the 4:3 aspect ratio. That is the only catch we have with respect to aspect ratios. The next part of the presentation is about content protection. I'm going to start this section by talking about the current landscape. The current landscape is that we have an existing software-based digital rights management solution in plan for the last two releases of Windows. The existing software DRM solution provides 720p quality video right now for protected content, and sometimes, depending on the studio providing the content, we support 1080p quality video as well on Windows. The requirements for software DRM are documented here. I have a website where you can find the exact requirements of all of these things in the resources slide in my presentation, which is coming up in about 5 slides. So you can look this up afterward if you'd like. However, if you want high quality 1080p video, a quality video for protected content, or if you'd like to have early window releases, by that I mean if a movie is playing in theaters right now, and if you would like to have access to it on your Windows PC, based on the studio which is publishing the movie, they might make it available on some Windows PCs that have the higher bar for content protection. Or if you want to support 4K quality video or UHD quality video, which is protected content on Windows, that demands a higher bar. That bar is defined by hardware-based content protection. And that is what this entire section is about. Microphone keeps falling off. So, to enable hardware-based DRM, we use the PlayReady infrastructure. PlayReady 3.0 is the core enabler for hardware-based DRM. What this provides is a hardware root of trust. It provides device binding and ensures that all HDCP keys, high-definition content protection keys, are provided in hardware at all times. It has support for compressed as well as uncompressed video content, and therefore